Hello and welcome to Clock Spinning, the podcast of magic history as told card by card. I'm Austin, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Connor. How are you today, Connor?
I'm doing all right. A little tired. We're starting late-ish in the evening, late for 30-somethings like us, but I'm pretty good.
Us elderly 30-somethings. Speaking of being a little bit older than some other humans on the planet, what are we doing today, Connor?
A seamless segue. We are doing another Crack-A-Pack. We did one of these a little while ago for Ravnica, the original Ravnica set, where we just opened up a pack on a video virtually and just went through the cards. We have not seen what's going to be in this pack, which is from Time Spiral, a personal favorite of both of ours, and hopefully of a few of you watching. And we're just going to open up this pack and see what's in there.
All right. Should we see what's in here?
Let's do it.
Okay. Who's going first this time? So you got to go first last time, which meant you got the first card and the rare.
Yeah, I think so.
But if I let you go,
start it off.
Well, but if I let you go first this time, then you get the time shifted card. So
if I go first this time,
then I'll get the rare.
I get the time shifted and you get the rare.
Okay. You can go first. You know what? It's fine. This is ridiculous. You can go first.
All right. Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. You ready for our common? Here we go.
Orcish cannonade.
Cannonade. I feel
this
like
this is how you can tell we haven't seen these cards. Let's say Orcish cannonade. 1 RR for an instant. Deals 2 damage to target creature or player and 3 damage to you, but you draw a card. Flavor text, kind of good. It says, Crispy Scarback, load another volcano ball. I guess that's not that good.
I like it. I like their names.
I like Crispy and Scarback. I don't really have too many memories of this card. Like, I remember seeing it for sure and just thinking there's got to be a better way to do whatever I'm trying to do here. But I guess it's fine. Like, I could see playing this in like a sealed setting. I don't know.
Yeah, I think fine is about the word for this card. I've always felt like, to me, this card reads like it should be 3 damage to any target and 2 to you, but I guess the draw card is quite a bonus. This is the card that we've talked about this a lot in the Ravnica booster as well. I have this, a lot of these cards from my, middle schoolish years. I always had this feeling that I must be missing something in not understanding why they're good. Like, I was, I self-assigned blame for every card that seemed bad, more or less. Yep. And this is a good example where I was like, I must just be missing something, but I don't think so. I suspect this card basically has never done anything in the history of Magic.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. And I share your feelings about assuming that if I couldn't figure out a card, especially like a really Johnny-ish combo-y blue card, like if I couldn't figure out why it was good, then it was because it was my own failing and not the card.
But absolutely.
I think it's the card here. I guess one thing is like they're really, you know, nowadays in Magic, I mean, you know, it's been a while since we've played with really contemporary cards, but like when I was playing pretty regularly in like 2022, 2023, like card draw was just all over the place. Like everything's drawing you cards or filtering cards or scrying or like letting you do all kinds of card selection. And that really was not the case back in Time Spiral.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly not before that. Like red is not a color that's going to be getting a ton of card draw. So I guess in that way, you could say this is like maybe for the time a little bit better than it looks now.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're not going to get that much like deck filtering stuff that you would have now.
I think one thing that will be fun slash stressful about this is almost every card in Time Spiral is a reference to some part of Magic's past. This is the set of time traveling into Magic's past. Many cards are references to multiple things in Magic's past. So, you know, YouTubers for engagement, they like to tell people, you know, comment with what we missed. And I think there should be a large opportunity to comment with what we missed, but I do know at least one reference for this card. So the core reference for this card is Orcish Artillery all the way back in Alpha, which is a 1 RR 1/3 Orc Warrior that taps to deal 2 damage to any target and 3 damage to you. So this is like a super clear callback all the way back to Alpha. To what I understand, it was a super powerful card in that very earliest Magic because it was just, you know, like repeatable damage, which didn't really exist apart from that card in Tim. So that's a fun callback. I like the very neat mechanical lines, and I'm sure there's some other callback, like for all I know, Crispy and Scarback, or I don't know, Mark Rosewater's left and right thumbs or something, but I'm not sure.
I hope you're right about that.
We didn't rate any of these cards last time. I kind of think we should rate them just briefly. I think this is like a solid B for me. It's a cool card. It's a fun callback.
Yeah, I'd give it like a C plus on our loose YouTuber scale.
C plus. All right, I can live with that.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right, next up, Havenwood Worm. I love this guy. 6 and a G for a 5/6 Worm, Flash, and Trample. And the flavor text, Time Rifts bring tunneling beasts of old into the hard, dry earth of the present. Most die there, trapped, but the mightiest burst through the surface. This is just a cool card. This is just like your classic, dumb, big green limited card, and I'm, you know, here for it, as they say. You know, 5/6 flat flampler. That's not, I guess it's not, I guess flampler is usually like a flying trampler. Okay, I'm just confusing matters. I think a 5/6 for 7 is not great, but it's not the worst. We've talked a lot that 6 to 7 mana is a big jump in like all of Magic, but especially like limited Magic and especially low power limited Magic. It's very easy to get stuck on 6 and not see 7 for a long time or ever. And so I do suspect this suffers from that, but I still think this is like a solid top of curve filler that can do some fun stuff, you know, ambush, kill an opponent's creature, then they got a big threat. It's a 2-for-1, not bad for common.
Yeah, I like that it has Flash. Like, I feel like it would be a very unexpected response from a green deck, like deep in a sealed game, to just have a 5/6 appear out of nowhere and block one of your guys. I think that this would be a great opportunity to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that this was the set that introduced Flash as a keyworded mechanic.
Oh, that's good. I am pretty sure you're right. Because this set is, I mean, we didn't do any intro today for some reason, but this block is all about time. And I think you're right. I think this is when Flash was canonically first keyworded.
Yeah. I mean, like the concept existed on some cards before Time Spiral, but I think I remember, you know, Wizards making a big deal of this being a keyworded thing that we're going to see a lot of. And I think it was in Time Spiral.
We are attempting to check. This is good content, me scrolling through Scryfall results.
I'm seeing Austin scrolling through many cards on Scryfall.
Scrolling, to try to scrolling. Get to the bottom yes, of it. No, it is from this set. This is the first set to keyword Flash. That's a good call out.
All right. Okay. Nothing to correct there.
I was trying to figure out like what this is a reference to. I'm sure it is. Tell us if you know. This is only one of only 3 Havenwood things in Magic. Apparently, there was Havenwood Battleground, which I've never heard of, in Fallen Empires, which is a terrible land. Comes into play tapped, tap to add G, or tap and sack it to add GG. Nice. And then there's Thelen of Havenwood also in this set, and that's it. That's so 2/3 of all Havenwood lore are in this set. If you know what this card is doing a cutesy reference to, please let us know, because to me it just looks like a time worm, just a filler time worm.
not a lot for it to refer back to.
We didn't talk about the art for that first Pete Venner's piece. I don't know why. I guess it was just like fine and I just moved on. But we traditionally talk about the art. The art here is fine. Something I love Time Spiral. Something I don't love about Time Spiral is they settled on, to show the like time-based calamity befalling the world, everything is like brown dead trees. Like whatever land it is, whatever is happening, the background is just like these brown dead trees. And I don't really like it. I've always thought it's really boring. Like in my cube, when I think about what basics are in my paper cube, like I sweat. I'm like, there's only 45 basics per color, not because of the desert cube, but just because I want to constrain myself. And I really sweat which lands go in, and there's lots of nostalgic basics. There are no Time Spiral basics because they're all, I think, incredibly boring. And that extends to all the cards.
Yeah, the like backdrop for everything in this set is just so, it's like dead trees, dust, dry earth.
Yeah, but not in like compelling Mad Max way. It's just kind of like boring for me.
Yeah, it's just like barren in an uninteresting way. So
what's your rating?
It's kind of a bummer, but I like the worm. It's like a B.
I'm going D. This is just like a nice filler card. It's a D filler card.
I think I like the worm.
The art? Like its vibe. I think the art's decent.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Ooh. Now we're cooking.
Monvuli Acid Moss. 2GG for a sorcery. Destroy target land. Search your library for a forest card and put that card into play tapped. Then shuffle your library. Flavor text says, life gives way to death and death to new life. Nature feeds upon her own decay. And I can't read who said that.
Ezreth, Druid of the Dark Hours.
There you go. Good thing work. I love this card. The art is totally baffling to me, but the card itself and what it does, I love. And I know you love some good land destruction.
I adore some land destruction. It's basically my favorite thing. I have tried so many times to cram this into my cube. I don't think it quite ever got there, but it's just like the idea of destroying land and then ramping is, there's nothing I want more in life than this, Connor.
Yep.
One of the problems we've historically had in the Kamigawa show as well is when the cards are good, we have less to say about them. And that's how I feel about this card. Like, I just like it. I do like, there's a certain, obscenity, is obscenity too strong a word? There's something really gross about destroying your opponent's land and getting a land of your own. Like, that's just so nasty. Especially on a common, and especially like, it's basically a 2-for-1, right? Like, you spend a card to get a land or to ramp and destroy their land. It's also just target land. It's not non-basic land. Like, you just lock your opponent off a color, even if it's through basics. So I enjoy the, like, it's not pushed. I don't think it's like a particularly powerful card, but it's like mean. It's pretty mean. It's supposed to be one of the last really mean land destruction spells ever printed.
It's mean, and it's doing a lot for a common. Like,
yeah,
do something that's, you know, really out of character for green, which is the next set in Time Spiral Block, which was Planar Chaos. Like, the theme of that set was to do a bunch of color shifting stuff where, you know, you'd have cards that were just literally an older card kind of recreated in a different color, or, you know, themes of one color transplanted into another one. And this feels like a preview of Planar Chaos almost, where it's doing something that's a little bit red, it's doing something that's very green of getting the forest card, and it's just like, you know, like pretty unique power for a common.
Yeah.
Power and power level.
What do you think about the art here? I find the art here really confused.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of looks like a ramp spell with the land being, I guess, revealed, but it kind of just doesn't look like it's doing anything.
Yeah, the art is completely baffling to me. I don't understand, like, which part of this is supposed, like, what are we supposed to be looking at here? There's moss, but it doesn't feel acidic. I'm not feeling any land destruction. I'm not really feeling any ramping.
No, it's kind of enchantment-y.
It's just there.
I mean, to be honest, when I think about it, the name is kind of like, what would you draw from Monvuli? Like, I guess you could draw, like, gobs of acid destroying, like, you're asking an artist to convey moss destroying a landscape and creating a new landscape. That strikes me as a pretty hard brief, no matter what, if I'm honest. But this ain't it. Mm-hmm. Even with that brief, I think it's very static. Like, it just kind of looks like a sunlit thicket or something.
Yeah, it's like, it feels like one corner of the art for a land card.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This would be just one quadrant of a forest.
Or like a green enchantress thing, like something that does something when you play another enchantment.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know, Mossy Grove I don't know.
Monvuli Mossy Grove.
If I'm honest, even ignoring its like non-relationship to the name and the mechanic, also the art itself is just kind of, I don't, like, there's just nothing that resonates in it. Like, it's compositionally, there's no dynamism. It's hard to see. It's like boring. You can't tell what's going on. Like, I just really can't find much to love artistically in this card.
It's just there. But the actual card, great.
It's a cool card. This card is never been reprinted apart from the list, and I can't imagine it ever will be. But if somehow someone at WotC wants to print this with new art, that would be great. Because it's a fun card.
Yep.
I kind of want to start collecting these in foil, but they're $8.
Oof, which seems like you got to save that for more Graxiplons.
They're kind of cleaning the web out of Graxiplons. By the way, if anyone...
Eventually you'll run out.
If anyone is either new to the show or has heard this before and not believe me, or forgotten, if you would like a foil copy of the Magic the Gathering card Graxiplon signed by me and Connor mailed to your door for free, email us clockspinningpodcast@gmail.com. We have done this. We will do it again. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, we absolutely will. Austin sent me a photo of all of the Graxiplons that he stockpiled.
I've acquired eight more since I sent you that. Hold on. This is now a video show, so I can show you, in addition to a Delver of Secrets for my cube, I have like eight foil Graxiplon and a foil Candles Glow. If you want a Candles Glow instead, I will do that as well.
We got those too.
We got those too.
That's just the tip of the Graxiplon iceberg.
And so don't go buying them out. That's my job. Do not go buy them on Card Kingdom. Come to me.
We need them so we can send them to you.
Okay. Tier rating. This is like an A for me. If this had decent art, it would be an S as far as bad commons go, because this is, I'm all about this, but the art does drag it down a bit. What about you?
Yeah. I think as a common, especially, it's like a minus. The art's a real bummer.
Yeah. Bone Splitter Sliver. 3R for a 2/2 sliver. All slivers get +2/+0. And the flavor text, as the time streams grew more and more unstable, Dominaria's creatures struggled to adapt. The intense pressures led to many dead ends, but also to lethal new forms that appeared as suddenly as the ashen rains. Honestly, I don't normally like this kind of flavor text, but I kind of like it here. I think I just like as suddenly as the ashen rains. I think that's a little bit badass, if I'm honest. It's just kind of cool. As far as the card goes, it's a sliver, so that's always cool. I mean, certainly when I was this age, like, slivers were the coolest. I mean, especially because we started basically in Legion's era. So we started Magic, and then slivers arrived, and then slivers disappeared, and then they came back. So this was maybe of all the things in the set that were nostalgic, like, we were pretty new to the game, so not many things were, but that was nostalgic. I was like, I kind of forgot about these. They always seemed cool. I never had more than, like, two. And now they're back. So that was very personally cool for me.
Yeah. And the slivers always felt like this thing where we hadn't been in the game long enough to really know like what the kind of whole landscape of Dominaria looked like, what all the like factions or creatures were. So as far as I knew, like slivers were like a Dominaria thing.
They were like the Dominaria thing, maybe even. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So we started playing around Legions, and then, you know, we go into Mirrodin and then Kamigawa and then Ravnica, and we're like hopping to all these different worlds, seeing all these new things. And then Time Spiral, we come back and we're like, oh yeah, this is the sliver place.
Yeah.
With all the slivers.
No, you're totally right. As far as like the slivers go, there's a lot of decent number of slivers in this set. I think they were probably okay-ish in limited. Do note all slivers, not slivers you control, all slivers, which if you're a more recent Magic player, or even a Magic player at the time, I think could easily trip you up. The like effect here, I think, is pretty solid for just a random trash common. Like, it makes itself a 4/2. That's not totally embarrassing. And +2/+0, that's a big game. Like, if you have two other slivers, this thing's giving like four extra power on some random common with easy color requirements. Like, I think this thing seems pretty solid as far as random jank goes.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that it's, here's another one that we actually sort of, where we know the callback, besides it just being a sliver.
Yeah.
This is a callback to the Mirrodin equipment. Can we say iconic? I don't know how
it's very iconic for me. It's an iconic cube card, I think.
Yeah, there you go. The iconic cube card. And this is sort of a cube podcast. Bone Splitter, which is just a like one mana equipment that equips for one and gives +2/+0. So this Bone Splitter Sliver is just a bone splitter for all your slivers.
Yeah, criminally underrated cube card, by the way. It doesn't look like anything, but it's just like a big game for not very much mana investment. And I think Bone Splitter Sliver is sort of the same. I like it. Yeah. Art-wise, I would say the art here, it's pretty predator-ish, which I don't mind. Mm-hmm. You can see another distinctive time spiral feature in this one, which is like, for some reason, the disaster that's befallen Dominaria, in addition to destroying much of most life, has left it covered in kind of obelisky spires. I'm sure there's a lore explanation for this. If you let me know.
I forgot about those. Yeah.
If you know, let me know. To be honest, it feels a little forced to me. It just feels like a way to make things look distinct. Not totally buying it.
We gotta put something on all this dust. What are we gonna put out there?
Yeah. The dust here again leaves me pretty cold. But I think the execution on the sliver is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
Tier
feels bone splittery.
What's your tier ranking?
I feel like this is like a B plus for me.
I like B plus. I'm gonna follow you to B plus. This is a pretty B plus kind of card.
All right. Bewilder, how I feel right now. Two and a U for an instant. Target creature gets -3/-0 until end of turn. Draw a card. Flavor text says, Teferi snapped his fingers and the Viashino started clucking like a chicken. Silly, yes, but exactly the thing we needed to break the stifling tension. Joyra, Master Artificer. That flavor text is a callback to our Ravnica episode, which had a Viashino in booster pack.
That's true.
So we're covered in callbacks here.
That's true.
Oh, I think we had a little Viashino tangent. That's the most interesting thing I have to say about this card. I've always hated -X/-0 type stuff. It just feels so powerless and pathetic to me.
I mean, this one's extra hateable too, right? It's like why isn't it just like -9/-0? You know what I mean? Like, I think at three mana, even with the cantrip, you should be able to. I don't think blanking one creature's offensive ability for one turn.
Get rid of the power.
Yeah.
Make it funny. Make it like -10/-0.
Yeah, that would be really fun. -20/-0. Like, just have fun with it. This is another card that I think maybe it's cantrip cards where some part of me thinks I'm stupid for not appreciating them, but like, I think I always thought this was supposed to be good, but I don't think it is. Grown Up Austin says, no, you're not dumb. Wizards is dumb. This card is bad.
Yeah, I don't think I ever...
you never, like any part of you this never had that particular conflict?
No, I was like, I'm not gonna... Nothing... No card that I draw is gonna make this worth playing.
It's a really, really bad card.
The art feels pretty rough to me, too. Like, this Viashino, this lizard man, is like so stiff and weird.
I kind of like it.
Awkward.
I like how befuddled he looks.
Like, his face is great. He looks very bewildered if you just stop like right here. But then you keep going to the rest of it, and he's just like a board.
To me, it looks like something from like a 1980s AD&D module. Which I really dig. Like, it's got that kind of, it's got a sort of earnestness to it that I appreciate.
I think if it was like a black and white, like sort of line drawing piece, I would like it more. But here, and the rib cage, there's this weird thing happening with the rib cage where it's like,
talking about the sharp cutoff like at the solar plexus. Yeah, that part is
like
confusing.
A shadow underneath that. Like, it's just a lot going on here that I'm not loving.
Yeah. Tier rating. I'll go F. Yeah. You know what?
I'm going all the way to the bottom.
If this isn't an F, what is an F?
Right, exactly. I have nothing good to say about this card. Why could I give it anything above an F?
One more thing before we move on. I will say, if I compare this to Ravnica last week, I would say the baseline for Time Spiral is better cards. Like, Ravnica is much more fondly remembered, I think, or universally fondly remembered, but even the bad cards like this, I could sort of imagine using them in some way. Like, so many of the times, or the Ravnica cards were just total dogs. Like, nothing to recommend them at all.
Yeah, the white cards especially, like,
we were
just basically speechless.
Yeah, just like, or that,
a lot of those.
That ogre thing that was like, it can't damage red creatures, and the reward is like a 4/3 for 4. Like, so anyway, could be worse.
All right, could be worse, Bewilder.
Trader's Clutch. This is better. Four and a B for an instant. I mean, I don't mean a better card. I just mean better overall experience. Four and a B for a instant. Target creature gets +1/+0. Becomes black and gains shadow until end of turn. Shadow is it can block or be blocked by only creatures with shadow. And it's got flashback, one and a black. This is yet another one of these, like, they're all instants and sorceries where I'm just like, I have no idea how to evaluate this in the context of the period or even now. It's hard not to think, like, five mana and the number one just never go together.
For some reason, I thought this was two mana. I don't, like, I was reading that four as a one and thinking of it as a two mana spell.
No, it's like, five mana on the front side.
What?
Yeah, that's how I feel about, like, what? Like, yeah, you can flash it back, but that shadow is nice, but I still think it's just terrible. I think it's just inexcusable almost.
I'm trying to think of any situation where this would be worth doing. At least within the, you can imagine some stupid situation where you give, like, I don't know, Merit Lage shadow or whatever, but like in this setting.
I mean, I think if I concoct a scenario, it's like board stall sealed. This lets you get through for the final damage, two big attacks from your Havenwood Worm or whatever. I don't really buy what I'm selling in this
costs
case.
The same as a Havenwood Worm to do that. So,
it's really bad.
Yeah.
I really hate the art. Something I think is interesting about Magic is it's actually grosser back then. I think they went harder on gross art back then than they're even willing to now. I mean, this is really gross.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of really gross art. I feel like a couple weeks ago, I think it was, you were sending a bunch of like really gross art in one of our Discord chats.
I was just inundating you with horror.
Yeah, just flooding our friend group with like disgusting art.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of the most horrible stuff.
This
like,
would be a good one.
Yeah, like ad nauseum. Ad nauseum's around this time. Oh gosh, I'm blanking. You know, but you can go all the way back to Onslaught. Like, what is the black storm card that returns cards from your graveyard? That is super gross. A lot of the zombie cards from Onslaught are egregiously gross.
Yeah.
This one is always, it's clearly not slush art from Kamigawa because she's an elf, but it feels like Kamigawa art to me. It's always felt like a Kamigawa piece.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Right? The color, the kind of horror of it, the almost like otherworldly quality to the creatures. I don't know.
Lots of stuff floating around.
Yeah.
Like it's a kami. Yeah.
One thing that's kind of weird about this is like, so this takes a creature, makes it a little bigger, makes it black, and sends it to the Shadow Realm to do combat. What does that have to do with the art? Is she being clutched by this guy and that's not kill? Because the basic vibe I get is this guy's killing, she's going to die. But
yeah,
that's not a guess what's happening.
Is he empowering her?
Yeah, I think he is. Canonically, I think he is.
Let's move on. I'm tired of looking at this.
Okay, that's fair. Rating F.
Yeah, F.
I would go D for the art because I think it's well executed, but I don't like looking at it, so F.
Yeah, it is something, but I've been looking at it too long to be more generous with
sorry,
it.
Sorry, it's just an F. Sorry if you're trying to sleep while watching this video.
Okay. Plunder. Four to red, sorcery, destroy target, artifact, or land. And our first card with suspend.
Yeah.
I'm not going to read this whole thing. Look it up, I guess. But it has suspend four for one and a red. Basically, you can exile it for a lower cost, and then it's going to come back in X number of turns. I can't say I love this card.
What? I love this card.
Five just feels like a lot of mana to be paying up on the front end for, like, I guess if you could do both of these, then you'd be sort of combining the typical Stone Rain and like Shatter cost of
destroying the land. It's literally Stone Rain plus Shatter, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, plus Suspend. And I like the idea of suspending this, but then, I mean, I guess you're always going to have some land you can destroy, but the reason Suspend is cheaper is because you're never quite sure what kind of board state it's going to be coming out into. And, you know, if you're, this just feels like a weird thing to like spend your turn two or your turn three doing, to suspend this in the hopes of like hitting something big.
Yeah, I was just looking like
4 turns in the future.
Sorry, I was just looking like what do you pay normally for this effect back then? Because of course you don't, this is not an effect you can get today at any price, basically destroy target land. But there were a lot of cards around this time that like would destroy, say, target artifact and land. And it looks like, for example, if you go back to Odyssey, you have Demolish, 3 and an R, destroy target artifact or land. Saviors of Kamigawa, Sunder from Within, 2 RR, destroy target artifact or land. Wreak Havoc in, what is that? Ascension, destroy target artifact or land for 4. Basically, this costs 4. So you're paying 1 more for the flexibility to suspend it. I don't know. I'm not buying it. Especially suspend 4, right? You do this on turn 2, so this is coming down on turn 6.
Yeah, and it's like at that point, maybe your opponent doesn't care that much.
Yeah, they're probably on like 4 or 5 lands in some random limited game. It's annoying.
Yeah.
But you spent a card.
Yeah, you've spent a card. If they have some like powerful artifact, something that they really don't want to be destroyed, they're just going to not play it until this comes out because they can see it coming all that time.
Yeah, the other thing about land destruction, I think, like, in Constructed, you can have a land destruction deck that's like, I'm here to ruin your life, right? It's like, I'm here to like Blood Moon you and you're not going to have any fun. But my experience, at least in Cube, is land destruction is more like a tempo play. Not always, but a lot, most of the time, right? It's like, this is something I'm going to do to keep you just off balance a little bit longer, right? It's like Thalia. It's the same role. It's like, I'm going to keep you off balance long enough that you never quite get in the game and you die. Well, this doesn't really do that in either mode. Like, it doesn't do it being played on 5, and it doesn't do it coming off suspend. And actually, if you're trying to tempo out, like, taking turn 2 off to have a marginal effect in 4 turns, like, is about the worst thing you could be doing. So, yeah, it's kind of, I don't know what the home for this card would be.
Yeah, yeah, especially in a red deck, like, that's not what I want to be spending turn 2 on.
Yeah. We should talk about the suspend visual treatment. It feels like Time Spiral had this really like strict art direction Bible. Like, there were things about this world that were going to be crystal clear. One of them was everything is dead. Another one is we're going to have a lot of these obelisks. And a third one was going to be, if it's got suspend, they're going to be coming out of blue goo.
There's going to be a lot of blue.
There's a lot of blue. I don't mind that exactly. It could get a little monotonous. I think here it's kind of fun. Like, I kind of like this Mad Maxi guy popping out of the blue and smashing stuff. I think it's solid.
Yeah, I like this art. I can't like think of enough different suspend cards to say how I feel about that art treatment as a whole. But it was definitely a very like clear visual signal that I can't really think of another example of where it's like every card that has this keyword or this ability, you know, has a specific sort of visual treatment. So I like the uniqueness of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this one. I like a lot of Thomas M. Bax's stuff. I kind of like, I dig the heavy outlines to a lot of stuff, these deep shadows and pretty saturated colors. So I like this one. The art's probably my favorite part of this card.
Yeah, I agree. We didn't really talk about how cool Suspend was on our previous Suspend card, but this is our first Suspend card. What am I doing?
This is the first one.
I love Suspend. I think it's a great mechanic. I think it's a lot of fun to play with. It creates this kind of clock in the game. Like, my cube has had a Greater Gargadon in it forever, not because it's a great card, but because everyone thinks it's fun. It's a fun mechanic. Mark Rosewater has often talked that, like, Time Spiral kind of almost killed Ravnica, or killed Magic again right after Ravnica revived it. In his view, in large part because it's so complex in so many ways, mechanically, like all the callbacks, like there's a lot of complexity all over the place in it. Suspend, especially at the time, felt to me fairly. I felt like I was doing something advanced by suspending a card, which sounds sort of laughable now when Magic cards are like, it's a planeswalker that flips from a legendary creature and both sides have a static ability. But at the time, it was like, whoa, slow down.
Well, it feels like there was a lot of like 3D chess going on where like it's, I really like it as a mechanic because it's mechanically very simple. You know, you exile it and then it just counts down every turn. And I guess you have to remember to count it down. And I'm sure there were plenty of times that I forgot to do that. But like the concept is very simple, but the way that you're going to use it effectively is not. And especially like on a card like this, it can make it hard to figure out like what the situation would be, what the power level is. Like there's a lot more thought that you have to put into how good this card would be and what you can use it for.
That's a good example of it makes me think of two things. Like one is one of the things I really like about this era of Magic is there's really no free lunches. Like everything is kind of a tough decision and most things, especially in limited games, are not very good. And so you're really kind of like, it's like you're in, I was listening to a podcast the other week about like Victorian boxing and how brutal it was. And it was like 50, 60 rounds of bare knuckle boxing.
How did that?
It was just in the rest is history. It's a great episode of The Rest is History. But anyway, like this kind of like, well, you come away from that with is just that it was a slugfest, that it was just like you're fighting to the point of exhaustion. And I feel like that's how a lot of Magic games felt back then, and like Sealed especially, is like you're just slugging it out. And I kind of like that. Like this is a kind of slug it out kind of feel to this card. Yeah. It also makes me think of Sid Meier's has this famous line that like a game is a series of interesting decisions. And I feel like Suspend just automatically creates interesting decisions. In a real, it doesn't have much complexity to do it, but now all of a sudden you have this interesting decision about when do I want to spend this? Do I want an immediate effect later, or do I want to bank it now? What is the cost of banking this now? What do I think the game will look like in four turns? Like, which is something you really rarely have to think about in Magic. Like it has all this interesting decision making for a pretty simple effect.
Yeah. Yep. I think we've spent far more time talking about Plunder than almost any other card.
Yeah, well, it's definitely the best one.
I think it sucks.
What's your rating?
I'm going to give it like a D+ just for the art. The art bumps it up a little bit. Otherwise, it'd be...
I'm going D-. It's a pretty bad card.
D-. Yeah.
That's classic clock spinning, though.
Yep.
Back to me, right? Yes.
I think it's you, yeah.
All right. Snapback. One into you. Instant. You may exile a blue card in your hand rather than pay Snapback's mana cost. Return target creature to its owner's hand. And flavor text, if it returns years hence, our knowledge of how to combat it will be that much greater. Andorel, Talarian, Sentinel. This is an interesting card. I honestly did not know this card existed or remember it until just now. I'm kind of amazed because it seems like a card that might just get broken at some point, right? Like, for free you can bounce a creature. It feels like there's got to be some combo with bouncing your own creature and this card. I don't know. Maybe someone's done that in the past. It's a cool card. It's probably not almost never worth 2-for-1-ing yourself to cast this for free. Like this is not force of will. Like the creature is just going to come back. You haven't really, you've denied your opponent tempo, but not a resource.
But your knowledge of how to combat it will be that much greater.
That's pretty great flavor text. Honestly, I like it.
Yeah.
This doesn't really look like this guy's being bounced to me. Sorry, I immediately went on to the art, but you go ahead and talk about the card, and then I'll talk about the art.
I don't have all that much to say about the card. I remember having feelings about this. I don't know what they were.
There's a lot of emotion in these old sets for us, apparently.
It really is, yeah, yeah. Because, like, you know, there were so many packs that we opened, and, like, we were actually going to pre-releases and stuff like that back then. And
each of them cost a meaningful amount of money at the time.
Exactly. We didn't have... You know, it wasn't as easy to just go to, you know, like Card Kingdom or whatever, and not sponsored, and just pick up whatever random card you want to have. But yeah, I feel like I had a blue and red deck that I built sometime in Ravnica that I was very, very proud of because I got Steam Vents, for, like pulled that. That was the only like non-island, non-mountain
that became your destiny. I have deck. One dual land.
Yes. I have one dual land. I must build everything around it. And I think at one point I maybe considered having Snapback in there. I don't know why I would have done that. But yeah, I'm happy to talk about the art. I don't have that much to say about the card.
How is the bouncing happening here? So he's like kind of being enveloped from below in what looks like sort of goo. And then above is kind of the eye of a storm. It's pretty hard. I like how we're both tilting our heads.
Yeah, we're trying to...
Do I need to like add like an OBS thing that will flip it for us and the viewer if needed?
You got to mirror us so we're like both angled the right way.
I don't know what to make of this art.
I just get the vibe that it's being sucked into some kind of energy area. I don't know. It's just like, it's just getting, you know, he's getting pulled away from something, clearly.
Yeah. Yeah, I can buy that. I'm actually opening this on my other monitor and rotating it so you and I can see.
Oh, yep, I'm seeing
see that. It upside down. Sorry, listeners, I can't do it for you, but
I mean,
it's not making any more sense. That's
adding that much clarity
for me. No, I still have no idea what's going on. I like it.
Just, he's just getting sucked away.
I think he's a cool looking dragon, dude.
Yeah.
C minus. I'm gonna give this card a C minus.
That feels about right.
I don't think I'm smart enough for this card.
I'll agree with you there. Trespasser Ilvek. 2 and a B for 3/1 human rogue. You can discard a card to give it shadow until end of turn. We didn't really talk about shadow much with that Traitorous Clutch card. I guess there's not that much to say about it. Not much I have to say about it. Especially on this card. This is not doing too much for me.
Oh, I kind of dig this card. I kind of dig the just like 3/1 unblockable creature. I mean, that's like that's kind of a beat stick in like limited 3 mana, 3/1. I don't know if it's a very fun
discard beat stick.
I blanked on that. I was just thinking about the word shadow. No, this card sucks. Yeah. I totally missed that.
Gotta pay a price.
This is the problem with doing these live. I really like the art here. I'm just gonna try to distract us from my failure.
Let's just move on from that.
It's quite photorealistic, you know, but also painterly. Like the figure is pretty photorealistic, but then the background is like this almost abstracted landscapey thing. I like how he's kind of emerging from the shadow and melting into it at the base. Like I think this is one of these times where I think a cool piece is really wasted on like a just total trash common, but I think it's a super cool piece of art.
Yeah. It does suffer from the like totally blank featureless background that so many Ravnica cards have though.
Oh, I kind of like it here though. I think it's like he's in the shadow or something.
I guess.
I don't mind the wash. It
looks like he's like standing in a big sandstorm.
Maybe he is. He looks a little deserty. He's got a desert kind of protect your face thing going on.
Yeah,
I don't really like his
desert protect your face thing.
I don't really like his like horn, his like rhinoceros horn. I think that's kind of goofy looking.
I had never noticed
that. It's pretty funny.
It's like a bee stinger coming out of the wrong end.
It really is. But come on, you don't think
that's not helping it.
You don't think his like dynamic pose and the kind of like Dutch angleness almost of his hand coming up into the frame and like that cool swirly purple goo he's coming out of. I think this is a really cool piece.
I feel like if I roll back a little bit, then I like the overall feeling and composition. I like this swirl of like purple and blue color that he's coming out of. That creates a really nice contrast with the yellowness of the rest of it. Wow, you're really going back.
I'm thinking about it. Yeah, keep going.
Austin's rolling into another room to think about Trespasser Ilvek. I like it. I wouldn't say I'm like in love with it, but I like it. It's better than the card itself.
One thing I'll say is, I'm a nostalgic Magic player. You are too. This podcast wouldn't exist if we weren't, susceptible.
That's what we're all about.
I think Shadow, I thought at the time, I think it now, I have one Shadow card in my cube. I think Shadow is a just terrible mechanic. I think it's like, I don't know why they brought it back at all. I think people like the flavor of it's cool, right? I think as I read the flavor, it's you're moving into some kind of shadowy realm where only other people who can access that shadow realm can fight with you. That's cool. The fact that it's a little different than flying, you know, it also can't interact with the material plane. That's cool. But I think the play experience is pretty lousy because the play experience most of the time is like one player has a shadow creature and the other doesn't. And it's like unblockable, but can't block. And that's just like, it's just not that interesting, I think. It's just a kind of... I've never been in a game where I thought Shadow led to something super interesting happening on the board.
Right, right. It doesn't really add much to the experience for anyone.
Yeah. Jim Murray was not on my radar really as a Magic artist, but I'm just kind of scrolling through things he's done. Sundering Titan, OG art, Glacial Ray, Solarion, Eerie Procession, which I think we loved in our Kamigawa review. Yeah. He's like, this is banger after banger in here. That's cool. You want to rate first?
Yeah, I'm going to give this like a... Give it like a C minus.
Okay, I'm going to give it an A.
Just for the art, you're giving it an A.
I just think the art is really cool. I really like it.
That's some strong art.
All right. C minus, I think that's an objectively more reasonable grade. Maybe I'll start collecting these in foil.
Those have got to be pretty affordable.
I don't think so. Thalid Germinator. 2 and a G for a 2/2 creature fungus. At the beginning of your upkeep, put a spore counter on Thalid Germinator. Remove 3 spore counters from Thalid Germinator. Put a 1/1 green sapperling creature token into play. Sacrifice a sapperling. Target creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn. What a fun card. I always like the sapperlings. I think the idea that they kind of slowly, the Thalids, I like the idea that they slowly grow. I love that they brought this back from, I don't even remember, what were the Thalids originally in? Googling
the dark.
I want to say the dark. I'm just throwing that
out there.
Fallen Empires. There were 4 Thalids in Fallen Empires. Apparently, there was Thalid, Feral Thalid, Thalid Devourer, and Thorn Thalid. I guess.
Thorn Thalid.
I can't say these were ever good to me, but I kind of want to, like, I feel like you and I, Connor, should go do like some kind of Time Spiral Ravnica. You have $10 to build a deck, budget deck rumble or something.
That would be fun.
And I would want mine to be Thalids because I always have wanted to make them work. I think the slowly growing thing is so much fun. I think the way that they put different amounts of counters on, depending on which one they are, like, or how powerful they are, I think that's fun. I think the way they have little synergies with sacrificing the sapperlings is fun. Like, just a super fun set of cards.
Yeah. Yeah. I always like the Thalids. This art is not doing much for me. We could turn to that in a second. But like, I always wanted to build a Thalid deck back then. Just like, it just seems like an easy, cool thing to put together, right? It's one of the few situations where you could just throw a bunch of Thalids into a deck and they're all going to do a similar thing and sort of work together in a way that's not going to be game breaking, but is just going to kind of work as a deck without a lot of effort or a lot of planning. And yeah, there's something sort of appealing in a basic Timmy kind of way.
Yeah. And it's like a kind of a bad card, but it's not a totally embarrassing card. I guess. I mean, yeah. I guess it's what, 3 it's turns after you card, play it, but... you have 3 power and 3 toughness. Maybe it is a bad card, actually.
It's not a great card. But I assume there's some better Thalids out there that would maybe make it better.
Yeah, you would assume that. I don't know. I'm looking at him on Scryfall right now. I'm not really seeing them.
There's no good ones?
No. Except the one who's a 4/4 for 4. He's a good one just because he's a 4/4 for 4. And back then, that's a big game.
There you go. Well, I feel like there were some that would like give all of your...
Yeah, Thalids. He was. That's what's weird. The Spore Sower Thalid, that's what he is.
Spore Lord.
Yeah, he's a 4 mana. He puts on each of your fungi at the start of your upkeep. It's kind of weird that the one with the good bot... But if you don't get him, I feel like you just do nothing.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only one who does anything, right?
Why are all the cards you're looking at on Scryfall in Italian?
Because of Salvat. I said, show me the oldest printings, and Salvat is this weird... You know Salvat? I think we ran across it in Kamigawa. It's like these weird Italian and French printings that were in white border for some reason, so you can get white border versions of... Actually, hold on, because I just bought them. Don't ask me why.
Of course you do.
Here is, hold on. Here is Higure, the still wind. Come on, camera, come on.
Camera.
Camera.
Wow. It very briefly focused. I know camera. What I'm looking at.
Anyway, it's an Italian white-bordered Higure, and I have a Italian white-bordered Azami. just because it's novel seeing these cards in white border.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
Anyway, that's Salvat. This was definitely comprehensible for listeners.
It's truly a grab bag.
You wanted to talk about the art.
Actually, not really. It's just a big pile of mushrooms.
It's a little digitally. I think this is still pre-digital art, but it's got a digital feel to it to me.
Yeah.
A little shiny.
It's kind of like weird, blurred edges.
Yeah. Too detailed in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I think it is digital. Look how sharp the edges are, too, on the... Hey, watch this just be insulting, Tom. Who's this? Waterstrand? It's really hard to see on the green background, actually.
Yeah. I don't feel like I've...
Tom Waterstrand. Maybe it isn't digital. He has been painting since Legends.
Wow.
Sorry, Tom. I still don't like it, though.
Yeah, we better quit while we're ahead here.
What is this for you?
It's like a... I feel like all my enthusiasm is for this card. It's just evaporated as I realized what it would actually do. Maybe like a D.
C minus.
Yeah, okay. Is it me?
Yeah, it's you.
It's me. Aspect of Mongoose. 1 and a G for an enchantment aura. Enchant creature. Enchanted creature can't be the target of spells or abilities. And when it's put into a graveyard from play, return it to its owner's hand. I think this is a cool little card. It's not like, you know, that all that interesting. It is our first uncommon in the pack. But it's just, you know, I could see it being like a nice little piece of utility to have. I don't know what deck I would really want to put it in.
It's a callback to
having a card, but.
It's a callback to Nimble Mongoose in Odyssey, which is a one mana creature with Shroud, which is a callback to Blurred Mongoose from Invasion, which is another thing with Shroud. So I guess Mongoose have Shroud.
I guess so.
Until Mongoose Lizard in, Avatar the Last Airbender. Never mind, doesn't exist.
Cross it out.
I gotta imagine this caused a lot of rules confusion. I feel like I would have put in brackets, this effect doesn't remove Aspect of Mongoose, just because I know it isn't being targeted when the aura is being played, but I will almost guarantee you that that would have confused me and many other players back then.
It feels like the sort of thing where I would read it and I'd be like, well, this wouldn't exist if it just like fell off as soon as you put it on a creature. But then someone that you're playing against at a pre-release would tell you that it does.
That's exactly right. it would be like a failed angle shooter at a pre-release. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. And I'd be like, oh yeah, my bad. Put it in the graveyard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This probably enabled a lot of like 19-year-olds with long hair to get 11-year-olds to lose games they wouldn't have otherwise lost.
Yep. So for that reason, I give it a D.
Well, another reason would be I cannot love this art. This art is so confused. It's mostly just green blurs. Like, there's basically nothing. There's like one third of a beast here, and there's the rest of the art is just green and yellow blurs.
Yeah, and is that what a mongoose looks like?
No, I was just looking it up. No, a mongoose looks kind of like a pangolin or a armadillo or something. Like, it doesn't look like this at all.
I can see. I like how your reference images for Mongoose are other Magic cards that depict Mongoose instead of
animal. I'm just going to assume these other artists got it right, but maybe that. Okay, I'm Googling it. This is great content. Being told that someone's Googling it. I mean, those don't really look like Mongoose. Hold on, these other guys were goofy.
Oh, those are kind of cute.
They're very cute. Okay, how come Nimble Mongoose has armor? Okay, sorry. We got to do an episode on the three mongooses of Magic. This doesn't look like a mongoose, and neither do the other ones.
But this one really, this is like some kind of horrible tiger or hyena.
And this is 2005. There's no excuse. Like, you could look up what a mongoose looks like pretty easily at that point in human history.
Anyone could figure out what a mongoose looked like in 2005.
Is the green blur behind him the part that is the aspect of the mongoose? Because I'm not really seeing it there either.
You know, now that you mention it, what part of this is aspect? Like, it's just mongoose.
But it's not a mongoose. It's just like beast.
Right. It's like beast.
It's like beast. And we took the canvas away from Dave Dorman like 3 days before he was done.
Well, it's almost it like print. It's almost as he was trying to finish up the beast. It's like he had a wide paintbrush with a bunch of thin green paint on it and was just about to carefully start adding some details. And then they just yanked the canvas away.
Like this, like laterally.
This, yeah. Just this big blur. And they sent it to print immediately.
I feel like we're being borderline mean to this art, but it really isn't doing it for me. I gotta say, my inner cube designer comes out for this card too and goes like, this is not doing anything much of the time, and when it is, I'm not sure it's doing things that are very fun.
Yeah.
Like, to the extent this matters, it matters because your opponent can't interact anymore, and it's like not, I just don't know that this card does anything I really like.
Yeah.
F. I'm giving an F.
Alright. Let's move on.
Trop? Wait, is it your turn? No, it's my turn. Why is this so hard to track? Trop the Domains!
We've totally lost it.
Trop the Domains, 5 and a G for a sorcery. Until end of turn, creatures you control gain trample and get +1/+1 for each basic land type among lands you control. Flavor text. Ground into the footprints of the Ravaging Herd were clumps of salt from Benalia, moss from Llanowar, dust from Herloon, and ash from as far as Urborg. Okay, first I'm going to comment. There's only 4 landy things referenced in there, and that really, really, really bothers me.
They couldn't have gotten some water in there?
Some sand from the beaches of somewhere. So I don't know. So I just got asked, like, what the heck? Like, that is actually insane to build this really broke flavor text and leave one out. Very frustrating. Anyway, the card itself is cool. It's a callback to the not beloved domain mechanic, I believe. Was domain around at this time?
Wait, isn't domain a newer mechanic?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think domain...
I was wondering if domain was some kind of callback to this.
No, sort of. I think its domain was... I think kind of like we called mill for a long time before it was actually called mill on a card. The idea of for each basic land type among lands you control, I'm just checking, that was an invasion mechanic. So Magic's first multicolored block gets this mechanic to kind of reward you for having multiple land types, but it wasn't called domain formally, but informally, I believe Wizards and the player base referred to it as domain, even though that wasn't on the card anywhere. Okay. So this is a little bit of a pun, I believe, on that kind of slang for that effect, that beloved effect.
Okay. And then domain, I think, is an actual sort of named mechanic. I can never remember the name of these mechanics that are like italicized, but not a keyword.
Normally, it's my job to remember that, and I'm blanking.
Yeah, you remember that.
Ability word. Ability word.
Yes.
Let's go. I think
that was made a thing in like Dominaria United or something.
Looks like the first thing was Conflux, actually, which makes sense. Was when domain was keyworded.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yep. I've always dug this card. I can't say I like have any particular memory of casting it, but I think like it's cool, you know, like +5/+5 and trample, that's a game ender. You know, it's a fantasy. You're probably not getting there, but it's a fun fantasy to entertain. I think Trop the Domains is just a pretty cool sorcery name. Really the only knock, you know, we got this kind of like Lion King thing going on here with the wildebeest.
I was about to say Lion King.
Literally just Lion King. So apart from this like flavor text that's driving me up a wall, I really like it.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I don't know how I feel about the Lion King art. It's like a little bit too abstracted for me.
While also being like it's almost a ripoff. Like I don't know that wildebeest actually go down yellow cliffs. I think that's a Lion King Trop the Domains thing. I don't think they really do that. It's a
Lion King exclusive concept. But like, it's just, I don't know. There's too much, there's too little detail in this, especially for something that's supposed to be about like multicolored.
That's true. It's not selling that at all. It's like,
we're just getting Lion King here. Like the flavor text isn't selling it enough. The art isn't selling it at all. And it just kind of, it's just this sort of like time spirally brown feeling all
this
the way across.
The time spiral brown starts to get you down. You're just like, God, this is a cool concept. Like there's probably a cooler art you could attach to this mechanic, cool concept, and cool name.
I didn't follow those last few syllables, but I think I know what
you mean. You could have, this could have cooler art if it didn't have to be boring and brown. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because it's a cool idea.
I'm still thinking about the Time Spiral Brown getting you down.
Is that the episode title? Time Spiral Brown gets us down?
It might have to be.
Or at least in the thumbnail. Anyway, I think there's something there.
That's pretty good.
I'm going to give this a B+. I just think it's cool.
Okay. It's a C for me.
Fine.
What do we have? One more.
Last uncommon.
Yeah. Paradise Plume. 4-mana artifact. As it comes into play, choose a color. Whenever a player plays a spell of the chosen color, you may gain 1 life, and you can tap it to add 1 mana of that color to your mana pool. 4 mana just feels like a whole lot for this, for a mana rock. I don't care about gaining 1 life.
It's an
especially
interesting...
if I'm like...
Go ahead.
But like, I'd be picking a color that I don't have as strong of a mana base for, right? Like maybe a color I'm splashing into. So I'm not going to be casting that many spells of that color, so I really don't care about the life gain. And by the time I get to turn 4, and I like this just feels like such a unfortunate way to spend that turn.
I mean, I think it's a terrible card. Just objectively. It's kind of like Alpha had this cycle, I can't remember all of them, but you know, this cycle of Iron Star was one of them. You know, these things that are like, whenever a player casts a red spell, you may gain 1, pay 1 if you do gain 1. This, you don't have to pay here. Yeah. But it's kind of like that cycle, which are super boring to me. I think they were actually good in the Alpha context, I think, because like against red, that was actually a big game. Anyway, that's not relevant here. I dislike almost everything about this card. I think the effects are like boring effects that stapled together do not become particularly more interesting. 4 mana for a mana rock that only taps for 1 color just seems really miserable. And I really, really dislike this art. It's so literal.
It's so terrible. I hate it.
We've had a couple arts we critiqued. I think this is my least favorite of the episode. I find nothing to love in this art.
Yeah, it's just, I can't even like describe why I dislike it so much. It's just like, it's just ugly.
Yeah, if anyone's listening on the podcast, it's not a Wubberg. It's like a feather that's 5 colors. They're not Wubberg ordered. They're black, blue, red, green, white. So Bergwa ordering. The feather itself is just like, it's just a feather. There's nothing special. It's just a big, weirdly thick feather against a vaguely rainbow back. Like, there's just nothing here. There's nothing to seize onto. It's so boring.
Yeah. And it's like curled in a weird way where it's like Wayne England ran out of room to just have like a straight normal feather. So it's doing this. It's like curled up like a skunk's tail. It's just weird.
It's just like fills the whole frame in this super boring way. Like there's no dynamism. There's no sense of place. Like, what is this feather? Like, is this something, do I hold this in my hand? Does it float ethereally in my vicinity? Like, I don't know.
And I feel like the bird that this came off of would also be very ugly. Like, imagine the color scheme. Imagine what this bird would look like.
Fill
a whole bird with feathers.
Oh my God. Is this a reference to Bird of Paradise? Paradise Plume. It's a feather that taps for not any color of mana, but kind of. It's surely it's a callback to Bird of Paradise.
It's gotta be.
Is not worthy Paradise of the Plume, Bird of Paradise, Paradise name.
No. Look at this.
By the way, if you haven't seen it, we have a Bird of Paradise episode where we review all the arts. It's a good one.
We sure do.
That terrible Lord of the Rings art.
But even that looks better than...
Oh, this. I will fight you on that. That art is some of my least favorite in the whole game.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Everyone's got to go watch that.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. I think we're on to the rare now, right?
That's right. I get it this time.
It's for you.
Oh, we didn't rate this. F. F minus.
Yeah, just F.
Oh my God. This is a great rare. Okay. Norrin the Wary. R for a legendary creature human warrior. 2/1. Whenever a player plays a spell or a creature attacks, remove Norrin the Wary from the game. Return it to play under its owner's control at end of turn. Flavor text, classic. I have a bad feeling about this. I mean, this is a super iconic card. It's a great commander card. It's kind of a combo-rific card. This is like, Watsi used to make like Johnny cards. Like this is something that I'm sure Mark Rosewater has multiple articles about what a Johnny card this card is. But this is like the epitome of a Johnny card. It does nothing on its own. So it essentially forces you to ask, how do I make use of this? Especially because I just wasted my rare slot on it. And I think that's cool. I think from a game perspective, it makes you realize like this is a bigger game than I thought. They didn't just put this on cardboard for no reason. There's got to be something I can do for it with it. And there's a lot you can do with Norrin the Wary. He's got all kinds of interesting, fun interactions. So really, really cool card. I love this card.
Yeah, this is a good rare to pull. That last episode, too, we got a dual
rare. Yeah, I would have been happy with this rare back in the day, even though I wouldn't have used it. It's just a cool card.
Yeah, I think I would have been confused by it, but like, oh, this is something.
Unfortunately, yeah. I think it's too late at night for me to just start rattling off Norrin the Wary combos, but I think there's lots of them.
Yeah.
People will know that. Use your imagination to think of all the things that this can do. Genesis Chamber. I'm going to go to EDH Rec. Genesis Chamber. Sure. That's a classic. Panharmonicon. That is an extreme classic. Impact Tremors. Sure. Confusion in the Ranks. War Storm Surge. Yeah, this is a fun card.
Yep. Let's go, Norrin.
Yeah. I don't know. Like S. Easy S.
Yep.
Also pretty cool art. You know, I like this kind of slightly goblin-y because he's got that kind of goblin hunch posture looking guy.
He's very goblin-y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just a fun card. It's fun. I always enjoy any magic card that conveys story just through mechanics. And this card, like, I love the way that this card conveys this guy runs away. Like, I just think that's really cool that magic's rules are able to convey that idea so neatly.
Yeah. And like, you don't need the flavor text at all to tell you what this guy's whole deal is.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Yep.
What a great rare. All right, Connor, let's see what we're time shifting into.
We have one more.
Journeying even further into the past, we find
Stupor. 2 and a black for a sorcery. Target opponent discards a card at random, then discards a card.
Let's go.
Stupor. What was this from originally?
It looks Mirage-y to me, but let's fact check that. It does look
pretty Mirage-y.
It is Mirage. Look at
and
us.
Mirage. Yep. And if you're not familiar with what's happening here, this is from the time shifted sheet, which is like a little extra card you'd get in Time Spiral packs. It was an old card with an old frame like this, just reprinted with a different set symbol. And you just get a little sort of like bonus time traveled card like Stupor.
And this kind of thing is incredibly commonplace now. You know, Wizards is doing crazy random stuff with extra sheets all the time. But this was the first extra sheet thing, as far as I know. Oh my goodness, did it feel exciting. It felt like anything could be in there. And actually, there were only 121 cards in there. But it really, to me, every time it felt like, I have no idea what I'm going to open. This is I'm literally stepping into the past. And I don't know what I'm
going to find. There could just be a goblin snowman at the back of this pack.
Which there could be. There was a goblin snowman. There
often was, yeah.
There was Psionic Blast, which felt completely insane to find in a pack. Remember that? It was like a $20 card.
Foil Psionic Blast.
That's right.
I've shifted, yeah. I was so excited. And that definitely went
in. Do you still have that? Because that is sick.
I might.
God, now I'm just thinking about Psionic Blast, which is
not we're just looking at Psionic Blast.
You can still get one in foil for $11. Like, it feels like a no-brainer.
That's not bad.
Just Stupor, investment though. Advice in this podcast, basically. Stupor, exactly. Sorry. The card we're reviewing.
This is actually a finance bro podcast. Stupor. I don't mind this. Like, I don't know when I would like pick Stupor out of a big box of magic cards and be like, I really want to put this in a deck. But if I was just trying to make my opponent discard as much as possible and make them unhappy, especially unhappy while they're doing it, then I guess I'd want to play this.
Yeah, it's no Him to Turok, right? But I mean, nothing should be Him to Turok. I think it's pretty cool. Yeah. Like, if I had had a casual black discard deck back in the day, which I did, like, this is going in there. it's decent rate, right? It's not embarrassing. They lose two cards. Yep. One of them's random. You have a decent chance of like hosing them in some way, right? They discard their next land or their only remaining land at random. And now they're like, oh boy, what do I do?
Yeah.
This has like salt scoop potential, which I like Monvuli Acid Moss. Like I don't mind that. I look for that in a card.
Put it in the cube with the moss.
That's interesting. It's like a little slow. It's like, I gotta think about that. BB, yeah. I'd be thinking about. This would be kind of fun to to print a version of this, which they would never do at BB. That's like him to Turok minus, right? It's like one at random, one that you get to choose. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, it's fun.
It is. Yeah, it's definitely a mean card. We've seen a surprising number of mean cards in this, but
this has got to be pretty close to the last gasp of Mean Magic, right? Isn't this about the this is about the end of Mean Magic as Time Spiral Block. I like Lorwyn.
Lorwyn after. Yeah, that I feel like that was less.
I mean, that's there was Planeswalkers, right?
Meanness.
That's like Infinite Advantage Engine. Like this is the last hurrah of Mean Magic, which I have a soft spot for.
Yeah.
I like Stupor. The art is competent.
My praise.
I don't know. I can't
argue with that.
I can't decide how I feel about it. I was gonna say it's ineffective, but he does look sort of magically distressed in some. I don't know. Maybe not. I mean,
it looks like he's
sleepy,
comatose. I'm not really like the colors of these magical energies swirling around him. Is it really and like they're just kind of? It looks like he's just. It kind of looks like he's being raptured.
Yeah,
and that's not giving discard a card.
Yeah, or it's kind of giving like you thought that the prince was dead at the end of a Disney movie, but then the magic person saves him. Like it's kind of looks like he's it's kind of hard to tell if he's suffering or being helped here.
Yeah, it looks like he's about to be revived. He's about to wake back up.
Yeah.
So,
but I kind of like if I ignore its mechanical non-convincingness. And the yellow wash background and the weird magic. Like, I kind of like it somehow still. I don't know. It's, again, kind of giving this AD&D feel to me.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, I don't mind the sort of soft glow that it has, too.
Yeah. Okay, it's solid. I'm going to give this a B. Yeah. Stupor gets a B from me.
I think it's like a B minus for me.
Okay, I just also, this purple set symbol, I don't know why that hits hard for me. I just love the purple set symbol. It's super nostalgic.
It is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty close to the logo for this show.
Well, there may be some inspiration there. Who knows? Well,
maybe not a coincidence.
Yeah. You can ask us in the comments and then you can hear me reply. Yes, that was part of it. All right.
Okay.
Cool. That brings us to the end. This was Time Spiral, one of my favorite sets. I think it lived up to my expectations. Almost every card was at least a little bit interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how long we've been going now, but I feel like we definitely had plenty to say about
1 hour, 12 minutes, and 42 seconds.
There you go. There you go.
I got to say, I think I liked it more than Ravnica, like, comparatively. I think it's more fun to crack this pack.
We had more to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting mechanics. There's a lot of, like, more mean cards and things that really make you think about how the game would be played and how these mechanics interact with each other.
Yeah.
It was a good one.
It does feel a little like, you know, Time Spiral's this kind of puzzle box set for to show how clever the designers are, and you get to feel clever reading it. Like, if I imagine, like, building a deck out of the cards we just saw versus, like, just cracking some Ravnica packs, I suspect the Ravnica games might just be more fun magic than these games would be. But individually, each card is like a little jewel box, even the bad ones, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Let us know what memories you have of any of these cards. Email us if you want a Graxiplon or a Candles Glow. Those ones are scarcer. I will only award one Candles Glow. Thank you for listening. Have a good night.
See you next time.
Bye.